You may have trouble describing it, but you sure know it when you hear it.
It was only coffee and donuts. There was no drinking and soda and music.
The unmistakable Philly accent. Meredith Tominga, assistant professor of linguistics at the University of Pennsylvania, makes it her work to make sense of variations in language. She joins me to tout the tones and words that make Philly speak unique. Professor, thanks for being here on NewsWorks tonight.
Oh, thanks so much for inviting me. I'm really happy to be here.
Now, before we get started, may I get you a glass of water?
Yeah, I would only take water in Philadelphia. I don't think it would be right to be drinking water here.
Of course, it's easy to point to the more obvious examples, water, Philadelphia, bagel, Dennis, like I got a cavity.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's one of the examples. We use some lexical items like Jimmy's for the sprinkles that you put on ice cream, or fireplug for a fire hydrant people use here, or pavement for the sidewalk. That's another one that you wouldn't typically find in a North American city.
Is the Philly accent a particularly strong accent?
I think people find it strong, but they don't always differentiate it very well from the New York accent. So to a linguist's ear, Philly has a really different accent than New York.
Or Nashville or New Orleans.
Sure, yeah. But I think to someone who's not from either Philly or New York, it often gets mixed up with the New York accent. And you'll find so I was watching House of Cards on Netflix, right? And they have the shipyard workers who are supposed to be from Philadelphia, but they have actors with New York accents and real working class New York accents, and that's supposed to sort of stand in for Philly. But if you know a real Philly accent, you can tell right away that that's not it.
One reason why it's hard to pin it down, though, is it's always evolving.
That's right. It's always changing. And over time, we see that some processes keep going forward. So the things that make a dialect really sound unique, besides just the words that people might use in that area, are especially the pronunciation of different vowels. That's the main thing that differentiates North American dialects. So when we hear differences between Nashville or New York or Philadelphia, right, we're hearing differences in the way the vowels are pronounced.
For example.
So for example, in the South, you would find, you might find that a diphthong, I, is pronounced as a monophthong, ah, so five becomes fav, like wat ras, right? So that has to do with vowel pronunciation. In Philadelphia, I was talking about we have I becomes oi, like fight, so you get fight instead of fight, and you get the ow sound, like down, starts to have sort of an ao sound to it, so like down instead of down. We also get the A sound is becoming more like an E sound, so plate becomes like pleat. So some of these things are really salient, right? So people hear them and they're like, oh yeah, like if I say foit, oh, people recognize that as a Philly stereotype, right? They're like, yeah, they hear that. But some things like this A to E sound change, people don't notice at all. It's totally underneath their radar. And yet it keeps changing. So somehow people pick it up and move it forward, even though they never really notice it in their whole lives.
One might think, though, that in a more general sense, it's changing toward a more homogenized sound in this era where there's an American accent, as it were, that you certainly hear on my field in news reports. Why are accents being preserved and, in some senses, strengthening locally, regionally?
I think one of the reasons why is that some of them fly below the radar, and that seems to be the main difference between where we see homogenization and where we see dialect intensification, is how much people notice it. So the Southern accent seems to be receding in parts of the South, right? So people know and stereotype a Southern accent. They hear a Southern accent. They have certain ideas about what kind of person that is. But then in the whole Northern Cities region, so like the areas around the Great Lakes, the urban areas, Chicago, Detroit, Rochester, Syracuse, all of those cities have a very characteristic accent that's undergoing a number of very rapid vowel changes, and nobody there has any idea. And so that's sort of the fact that for whatever reason nobody has noticed it doesn't have this sort of stereotyped characteristic seems to allow the change to move forward without being sort of standardized.
When little children grow up and either their work or life circumstances take them to other parts of the country, do they necessarily or usually then lose that initial way of speaking and conform with where they are next living?
It's not really clear. One thing we know is that the critical period where children are able to learn language easily and flawlessly, right, compared to how hard it is as a grown-up to sit in a, you know, a French class and you're banging your head against tables of verb endings and things. That sort of plays into language learning, right? Accent learning is part of language learning, and kids do it better than adults. So you're not going to pick up the full form of an accent by moving there as a grown-up for the most part. Most people aren't. At the same time, typically people lose some of the more, maybe some of the more regional or stigmatized features of their original accent. They tend to sort of correct away from those things. But what's really interesting is that you get a pretty wide range of outcomes. So different people, depending on their ear for language and how sensitive they are to the sort of social meaning of the way they sound, will converge more or less to their new accent home.
Sounds very contextual. Is this part of your work as director of the Language Variation and Cognition Lab at Penn?
It is a little bit. One thing that we're really doing there is starting to do more experiments. So a lot of the work that's been done by Bill LeBove and by his students for years has been observing language use in a sort of natural context, having conversations with people and measuring how they talk in that way.
Like we heard at the onset
exactly,
of our conversation.
That's right.
And let's hear another example of that now.
We don't like fight over turf. But it's like we're a group of guys that hang together. See, in this one neighborhood, that's another thing. In this one, they're corner gangs. You know, one street could be totally different.
So that interview was recorded in the Port Richmond neighborhood in a bar, so very sort of natural, easygoing context, right? And so we get
alcohol infused.
Yes, that's right. We get the least amount of self-consciousness and the most sort of pure form of the dialect when we record in these sort of natural and comfortable settings for people. So one of the things, some of the things that I hear that are really characteristic of Philadelphia when I listen to this clip, he certainly has this fight becomes fight. Right. And we also get there. He says dare. Right. So we get this. We call it DH stopping when the sound at the beginning of a word becomes a duh sound. So that's often that's typical of a number of working class accents along the eastern seaboard. So you get it in New York and Baltimore as well. He says street. And this is something that people are just starting to pick up on. So the s sound when there's a r after it, you get it becomes more like a sh. So street becomes street.
You're speaking tomorrow night at the World Cafe, known more for music than spoken word. Are those some of the cuts you'll be playing from?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll be playing some samples from interviews like you heard here and maybe some other ones as well. I'm also hoping that it'll be a chance for people to try it out a little bit. I think hopefully it'll be kind of participatory. I'd love people to try out some of the sounds and words of the Philadelphia accent. It should be playful. I think language variation is fun and playful, in my opinion. I think it's something to sort of revel in.
Well, on behalf of all my staff at NewsWorks tonight, we are in forever gratitude to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Meredith Tominga, Assistant Professor of Linguistics at the University of Pennsylvania. She joins me on NewsWorks tonight.